talking about the Leafs' backup goaltender situation. Is there a scenario where Mike Hutchinson busts through and he ends up grabbing the job away from Garrett Sparks?
Well, I you know what? I mean, you don't know. I mean, I think you let it play out here to see where, you know, the next couple of games go. And then you know that you've got Sparks. That's one, you know, he's been okay. And you've got this kid who's a battler and a veteran. So I think it was a good move picking him up, to be quite honest. And, things play out. I mean, tonight's an interesting test for a backup goaltender when you're playing one of the best teams in the league, especially the way this team comes at you with firing, bombs from the point, you know, with Josi and Subban, Eklund and on and on there, Ellis. I mean, so it's a good test for a goaltender. So I never get too carried away when a guy comes up and wins a few. It's more of a long-term type thing, and I'm sure that's the way they're looking at it.
I think this guy was a real good backup in Winnipeg, and so I see his results early in the year. I remember watching a couple games live on when he's with Florida, Doug, when Luongo's hurt, and either it's Reimer on a back-to-back, and I'm like, maybe he doesn't look quite right, and I felt that Thursday with the afternoon game. So it's nice to see that's the Michael Hutchinson that could spell, because he's had to spell a couple guys. You go back to, like, even Andre Pavlich, and he's been back up in Winnipeg for about three guys. It's a role he's really, really used to and adjusted to. I'm not sure he thinks he's going to be a starter someday, but he wants this job, that's for sure.
Well, it's fair. I mean, Sparks has won. I mean, his record is good. His numbers are, I guess, just okay. And, you know, you've got a heck of a team in front of you. The bottom line is, I'm not going to get too carried away with the Vancouver win. That was a tired Vancouver team. That was a Vancouver team that didn't have their best player, their best go-to power play guy, 5-on-5 guy, although he's a kid. So, you know what? I think it's a good story. I'm just not buying it yet. You know, Sparks is, you know, has played, what's his record? What, has he got 1-2 losses in 7 or 8 games? You know, has his numbers been good? No, they haven't been great. He's had a couple of tough wins with 7-6 or whatever the scores were. But I'm just not getting carried away with it. I've seen this story too many times where guys come up and they stand on their head and have a couple of good games. You know, the first game he played, I didn't like the goal he let in between the legs. And then the other night against Vancouver, 28 saves, he was good. So I hope it works out. I hope there's a battle there between the two of them. It's good for the Leafs. But I'm just not buying it yet. And the end of the story is they need somebody that's going to play some games here badly so that Anderson can be ready.
All right, as you get ready for a run, and once you're where the Leafs are right now, you're certainly knocking on the door. The team in your division looks to be like the best team in the NHL right now. You don't look good enough to be able to topple them. So how do you get better? You got a name like Dougie Hamilton out there. What's he going to cost? I mean, is that even viable?
Well, I mean, it's viable because the Leafs have assets that they can move, and that's a real positive. You know, they've got some young guys in their organization they can move. They've got a couple of guys in their team that they could consider moving. So, yeah, they've got assets to make a move. And the whole thing is the cap situation. How does it fit in to the cap down the road? That's the bottom line. To me, you know, when do they make a decision that they need a defenseman now, which most people in the league perceive they do, except it seems them. And the other thing is, you know, they've got to replace a Hainsey in their top four in the next year or sooner. So in Ron, hey, look, he's been terrific. He's been fine. He can move if he wants to play another year. He can certainly be in their top six at the right number, but they've got to move him from their top two or top four sooner than later. So it's a viable move. Hamilton is interesting. For some reason, it didn't work for him in Calgary. For some reason, it didn't work for him in Boston. And for some reason, it's not working for him in Carolina. So you better know this player inside out before you make this move. So, you know, I would think the Leafs have a strong dressing room right now. The bigger issue for me, well, no, that's a big issue. The other issue is they got to get this power play going. And as they move forward, the teams going into the playoffs with the best power play tend to do pretty well. So They've got to figure that out in the next number of games.
Doug McLean, our guest. Kings Sharks, by the way, on Sportsnet 1. It's a Sportsnet 1 doubleheader. 10:30 is that game. Blues and Flyers, 7 o'clock on Sportsnet 1. Of course, Predators leave 7 o'clock. Do you look at Nashville and go, there might be more pressure on them than any other team? Of course, if Tampa blows the doors off, then they're and goes and has a 125-point season, then they're almost a bit like the, I don't know, the 96 Red Wings, where it's like cup or bust. But from the West, is there a team with more heat on them? Maybe it's San Jose, right? But it's, to me, it's either the Sharks or the Predators. It's not the Jets, to be honest, because I think they're going to be good for the next few. There's a window, but Pekka Rinne's 36. I think most hockey fans feel like he's 32 or 33. That's a long way to carry a goalie now. He's 36.
Well, there is some pressure on them because it is, you know, they're moving into that direction of, you know, a team that has expectations to win the cup. And he hasn't been very good at playoff time. Great in the regular season. He's been great this year, but he's got to win in the playoffs. I mean, he's not as bad as Bobrovsky at playoff time, that's for sure, yeah. But he certainly hasn't been very good. He wasn't very good in the Colorado series, and he really, if I'm not mistaken, he didn't finish the next series. So he's got to be a lot better. There's no doubt about that, and that's what it's all about. You can talk all you want about Nashville right now, but it's going to be all about what happens at playoff time. I watched him the other night against Montreal. Josi was terrific. Subban was good. Ekholm was absolutely terrific in that game, and Ellis was real good. That top four blue line is better than most blue lines in the NHL. They create a ton of offense from that back end. So they're poised and should be a contender. You know, Winnipeg are going to be right there. Hellebuck, to me, has not been good enough. Again, I didn't like his Vegas series last year. He hasn't been good enough. There's some questions there. He's got to be better. They expect him to be better. In San Jose, you're right. There's a big-time pressure on San Jose, especially when they paid a price and they don't have Carlson signed. And to me, he's been a lot better lately.
Yeah.
But not close to where they thought he'd be.
But the thing about Nashville, I mean, the defensemen you mentioned, they keep the puck out of their own net better than anybody in the West, mm-hmm. right up there with any team in the National Hockey League. And yeah, their defensemen do create offense, but their offense is middle of the pack. And there's always been, you know, the conversation. They have all these defensemen. Do they, you know, trade one to get a forward to help them score? Is that something that they think that they need to do to reach the next level?
Well, that's all they've done, isn't it? When you look at who they've moved out of there, I mean, Suter's left, Weber's left. I mean, how many more can they move out of there? But, I mean, I guess that's an option. I mean, they've been injured too up front, in fairness. I mean, Forsberg's missed a fair amount of time this year. You know, Arvidsson's missed a fair amount of time. So, you know, I think you evaluate when they're healthy. You know, are they good enough offensively? I mean, they should be good enough. Craig Smith's been a good story for them recently with his play. But again, I mean, yeah, it's a viable question. It really is. Are they creative? It's almost a little bit like David Poile's Washington Capitals team when I was there, when you had Langway, Murphy, Hatcher, Scott Stevens as your top four. I mean, that was an amazing top four. Goaltending was never good enough in Washington, and their forwards were a real good group, but not a playoff type group for me.
All right, so should we keep an eye? We got under a minute. Keep an eye on Anaheim. I asked that to tell our listeners. 8 straight losses, 2 overtime losses, 6 of the 8 games they've scored, only 2 or more goals. They host Ottawa in 2 nights. I know it's Randy Carlyle's second go-round there. Is this a roster issue as much as anything? They have nobody. This is amazing. They have nobody who's got more than 11 goals on the team, and we're way past the halfway point. Nobody's got more than 11 goals. Nobody's got more than 29 points.
You know, they were banged up early on. Then they had this great run, and Getzlaf was unbelievable during the run. And, you know, he can't carry it right now at 34 years of age. And, yeah, it's. I think it's a bit of a roster issue. You like their blue line. Gibson's been terrific. I was shocked when I watched their game against Vegas the other night. They could have won as well as lost that game. I mean, it was right there for them. Last night, I didn't see the game, but it didn't look like they were very good. So, yeah, when you lose 8 in a row and you're in the race, you got to continually look at that situation for sure.